this book is the story of redemption, or it's called redemptive history. Behind the word redeem, many of us will know this, some of us don't. We have to. Behind the word redeem is ultimately to buy back. When redemption is used in Scripture, it's most often at its most important root theological meaning, it's describing purchasing someone out of slavery. Why is that so important to us? Because every single one of us, before Christ, we are sinners. And because we are sinners, we are in bondage and we are enslaved to sin.
Welcome back to Live in the Light. You've joined us today for our series looking deeply at the wonders of the atonement. That's Christ's work in his life and death to secure our salvation. Now, Pastor Ravi is with me in our studio. And Ravi, can you tell our listeners a little bit about what's ahead for today?
Yeah, I really hope that they have enjoyed, again, thus far, this doctrinal approach, which is really our heart to produce an incredible worship. The more we understand these truths and the more we see our affections, Craig, you and I'd love to say, like, we are not about Bible heads, but we are about the pursuit of knowledge of God, that our hearts and affections might be stirred for the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, there are few better ways to do that than understanding the atonement. You know, we started the series and the question was, hey, if you were asked, biblically speaking, could you define the atonement? And again, I think a lot of us maybe could not. That's what we're solving right now. And then you can define it. You can explain it biblically. And today we get to talk about the power of redemption. What does it mean that we are redeemed by Jesus Christ? I mean, when you start to see this and the reality, the being bought back and purchased by Christ, I mean, just wow, hearts get lit up. And we know this isn't taught enough. So God, may you use us today by your Holy Spirit. May you teach, may you encourage. May you bless the people with wisdom and understanding right now where they are. Oh God, work, and may the end result be a tremendously growing and greater affection again for Jesus Christ. God, I want that for my life. I want that for all who are listening today. So we're thankful for this opportunity to teach this, and we're thankful for what you've done for us, that you've lived it, and we're thankful that we get to praise you for it.
Amen, amen. Well, let's dive into God's word together right now and turn to Ephesians chapter 1, and here again is Robbie with today's message.
All right, fourth message in our atonement series, which is such an important doctrinal and theological series as well. My wife Jill and I were talking this week and just reflecting on the series, and she's like, this is such an important series. I said, tell me about that a little bit. She says, well, often as believers, we say, well, Jesus died for me. And we say these phrases, but it's amazing how many believers can't really articulate biblically what that means. Like, what does it mean that Jesus died for us? Can we explain that in depth? What happened in the atonement? What is the atonement? What happened in the atonement? What actually took place when Jesus shed his blood on our behalf? And that's the reason we're in this series right now. So we can answer, that we can biblically articulate, and our own heart gets so impacted by that as well, is what it means as Jesus died for us. In order to make sure we know what it means too, we're gonna do a pop quiz right now. Okay, so I'm going to borrow the sheet from you right here, brother. Thank you so much. So on the back of your program, you will see there's a four aspects of the atonement, and this is a pop quiz. There's a fill in the blanks right there. I'm encouraging you right now. I'm dead serious. You're looking at me like, really? I'm like, yeah, don't do it. This is a fill in the blanks. This is our series outline. If you've been attending here for the 4 weeks, this should hopefully not be too difficult, but go take some time right now and fill in those blanks. So we deserve to die. And the first element of the atonement that we understand, and you'll fill, I'm not going to give it to you right now, all right? But you'll be able to see that there. We were separated from God, and the biblical definition or term to describe what happens when Jesus brings us back to God is, give you a hint, starts with an R. And then you see number three there. And then number four as well. Thank you so much. Number four, I'll give you a hint. The answer to that, it's already on your program. So you should be able to get that one. So if you're here for the first time and you're like, what's happening right now? You get lots of grace. If you've been here through the whole series, you get less grace. Ha 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 ha. Try it. See if you can fill that out. And if you can't do it, then that's a great sign again that let's not waste the time we're in. Let's not waste this opportunity. A couple more moments. No cheating. Thanks for trying. Appreciate it. Some of you are still looking at me like I have two heads. That's all right. All right, let's take it up. All right, here we go. Here's our series outline, okay? Number one, we deserve to die. Jesus became our sacrifice. Yes, right? We are separated from God. So what Jesus does, again, the biblical term is he became our reconciliation. Let's go 11:15, you can do it. All right, so this is a huge one. We deserve to bear God's wrath last week. And so we understand this. Jesus became our, I always want church to be able to say that. That's so good. That's one of those words, propitiation, okay? He bore God's wrath in our place. He appeased God in his righteous, holy anger against sin. And lastly, here we are today. We are in bondage to sin. Jesus becomes our redemption, okay? So again, success in this series. Success is, know these four terms. I went to my kids just after last service. They were here and I went in. I get, okay, kids, here we go. We're going to be able to learn these things. We got to know these things. You take these theological terms with you, and if you can explain them somewhat biblically, wow, you are further ahead than most Christians who have ever lived. That's sad, but that's just true. That's just true. You are further ahead. So know it, teach it, multiply yourself in it, not just for information based. Take it and unpack it that you may understand. And when you're reading God's word, you'll see these things come up and you'll be so encouraged that you know what's happening to a greater degree. All right, so let's get after it then. Our fourth message, we were in bondage to sin. Jesus becomes our redemption. Please open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. We have one verse today mainly, but I'm going to read it in its glorious context. I'm going to read a few verses. Ephesians 1, verse 3. Let's get there. It's the Bible's open. Let's get ready. Lord, help us, teach us, change us. Ephesians 1, verse 3. This is such an incredible text. Ready? Here we go. Verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ, underline, in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Wow. Even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. Awesome that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption as sons and daughters through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will. Notice, to the praise of his glorious grace with which he has blessed us in the beloved. Fantastic. In him, here's our verse. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. Notice, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ. Verse 10, as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. Our main verse is verse 7. I want you to take a look at it. I want you to notice the first two words. The first two words of verse 7, it is the two words in him. These are two very small words with a total containing five letters. These two words and five letters, though in him, which pertains to Jesus Christ. Listen carefully. Those two words summarize, for those who are saved in Christ, those who are alive in Jesus Christ right now, those two words summarize our entire existence, our purpose, and our entire future. The phrase that I just expressed is not a redundant form of a cliche. The phrase that I just said is true. For every person who's alive in the Lord Jesus Christ, those two words in him, in Christ, they summarize your entire purpose, your entire existence, and your entire future, again, as it relates to the Lord Jesus Christ. Those two small words right there, in him, they summarize, they are speaking to our union in Christ. Our entire salvation and hope. Great name for a church, isn't it? But in him here summarizes our entire salvation and our hope in Christ. In fact, the phrase in him, that phrase is used 11 times in some form in the first 14 verses of Ephesians chapter 1. So that's a big deal. In fact, I want to load up the glory that is found in Ephesians 1 as it relates to in Christ alone or in Him. Let's study the Bible together. I'm not sure you're ready for what's coming. When you get this, it's, man, it is exciting. So look at this. What does it mean to be in Christ? Well, verse one means that we are called saints. Saints. Verse 3, notice, in Christ, we have every spiritual blessing. Notice in verse 4, we've been chosen before the foundation of the world. Verse 5, to be in Christ means we've been adopted as sons and daughters of God. Verse 7 means in Christ we have redemption or forgiveness of our sins. And verse 9, in Christ means God has given us the wisdom of His will to know the mystery of His will in His Son. In verses 9 and 10, in Christ means we know the purpose of life and all of eternity. In verse 11, to be in Christ means we have obtained an inheritance. We are co-heirs of Jesus Christ. In verse 13, in Christ means we are sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. We have been given, we've been baptized into the Holy Spirit. We are temples of God's Spirit. Verse 14, in Christ, that means we have received the guarantee of His glory. That is all pertaining to what it means to have true union with Jesus Christ, to be in Christ. Let's recap that. Some of us didn't get that. We need to get it. Here's what it means to be in Christ. Again, our Redeemer. We are saints. We have every, not half, every spiritual blessing in Christ. We are chosen. We are adopted. We are redeemed and forgiven. We have God's wisdom within us to understand what life is truly about. We have obtained a full inheritance again because of Christ. We are sealed with the Holy Spirit, and this means we are 100% guaranteed and secure of our glory that awaits us in Christ if we are saved in Jesus. So you came in here, we've been preaching this for 15 years in some form. We'll preach it for 15 more. I pray you come in here, you're in Christ. Here's what you just learned again right here. Today is another great day. Okay? So you have health issues, you have financial issues, you have relationship issues, you have real issues in your life. But when you come, oh, by the way, this list right here, let's see the Maple Leafs gives you that one. Let's see the Raptors produce this. Let's see the stock market come up with these kind of promises. Let's see your desire and dream to be accepted in a peer group and have friends who will like you in a certain way. And this is your, let's see your friends give you this. No one can give you this except one, Jesus Christ. This is what it means. Look at this list. Look at these promises. This is only found in Him. This is only given in Him. This will only be realized in Him. This is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He's the only one who can give us such amazing. Again, hold this list up to anything else in life, and which is more valuable? Let me see. It's not even close, man. It's not even close. All of life is found in Him. And again, I always wonder, man, who's here? The Lord knows. That you've been searching for meaning and purpose in your life for all these years. Some of you, it's been 15 years. Some of you, it's been 30. Some of you, it's been 64 years. And you have been searching for the meaning of life. And you've just heard right now, the only way you'll ever truly find meaning is in Him. The true one who saves you from sin and releases you to life and love and purpose. Not easier life, just so much better because you know why you live and who you belong to. You need a Redeemer. And that takes us to where we're going right now for the rest of this message. Let's jump into this passage of the wonder. The wonder. Number one, point number one is this, the wonder of my redemption. Oh, the wonder of redemption. Verse 7, again, look at verse 7. In Him we have redemption through His blood. In Him we have redemption. Now, remember, all of Scripture is often referred to theologically as the story of redemption. This book is the story of redemption, or it's called redemptive history. Why is it called that? Why is that word redemption so key? Behind the word redeem, many of us will know this, some of us don't, we have to. Behind the word redeem is ultimately to buy back. When redemption is used in Scripture, it's most often at its most important root theological meaning. It's describing purchasing someone out of slavery, setting someone free from their condition of slavery. Why is that so important to us? Because every single one of us, before Christ, we are sinners. And because we are sinners, we are in bondage and we are enslaved to sin. We are in prison cells of sin, and sin equals death, the Bible tells us over and over again. So what we need, what we can't do ourselves, we need someone to buy us out of slavery. We need someone to be our redeemer, to pay our ransom. We can't pay the price of perfection, which is demanded for our sins to be forgiven. We need a rescuer. We need a redeemer. Again, we need someone to pay our ransom. And that's where the biblical idea of ransom shows up so much. Mark 10, verse 35. Look what it says right here. Verse 45. Jesus, for even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. And what's the greatest way Jesus served us? He came to give his life as a ransom on the cross to purchase us out of sin, to make payment as a ransom for many. The whole purpose of Jesus Christ coming ultimately was to give his life as a ransom, to be our redeemer. So redemption then speaks of our sorry condition, our helplessness. And it also highlights the mind-blowing love and initiative of God towards us. Look at it this way. Before Christ, in our sin, we're on death row. Every single person is just, we're on death row. We're awaiting that. We can't save ourselves. We have no ability to do that. We must be rescued. We need a redeemer. So God, in his love, he sends his solution. I want you to see this too, okay? Just overwhelmed by God's love. The plan of God to send his son. In Ephesians 1 itself, the Father planned our redemption. It says that if you're alive in Christ, you have been chosen before the foundation of the world. Just think about that for a second. It starts to hurt your head a little bit, okay? I'm just like, wait. So I've been chosen before I was born in Christ. I was chosen before I was in my mother's womb. I was chosen before my mother was even born. I was chosen before the earth was formed. I was chosen before the foundation of the world. I was chosen before the universe was even, what? Like, whoa, that is too much for my brain to try to register. And yet it's true. It's true, which means when God foresaw all this happening, God knew that humans would fall. God knew his son would be sent. God knew his son would die. The son willingly paid for our sin, becoming our redemption, giving us forgiveness of sins. And the Spirit of God is the proof who applies this in our lives. The Spirit of God becomes our guarantee. He seals us. We're baptized in the Holy Spirit. We have his fruit coming from our lives. We prove that we've gone from death to life. And by the way, time out for a second. Some of us are here right now and we have professed to know God and we have professed to be saved. As you go through this understanding what it means to be alive in Jesus Christ, listen, if we've said that we know Christ, but there's been no fruit from our lives, you have to understand theologically, if you've really been saved in Christ, you've gone from death to life. You've been made a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. That's got to look like something different than what it was before. If we've just been kind of going through motions, and now I understand we have bad seasons, you know, as believers, generally speaking, there are seasons like a bad month, it can be a bad year. I'm just really concerned we say we have a bad decade. Like that's a long period of time to say there's really been no fruit. Like I'm trying to love you enough right now, and I'm asking you to examine where you are truly. There's gotta be some people here right now too that I played the game for 22 years, man. I played it. And I had some kind of belief in God. I did not know God though. I did not know Jesus. Could it be that you've been here and you've been doing your thing for maybe a few decades, whatever it is, but there's never really been any fruit from your life? You have to stop and say, why? Why? And could it be that you've never actually been filled with God's Spirit? You've never actually been saved and washed by the blood of Jesus Christ? Because when that happens again, not all of life gets figured out, but things must look different and things start to change. When you know your Redeemer, when you know he set you free, man, wow. Like life just starts to look different. We must see the fruit from our lives again coming forth. Now notice this, notice in verse 7, notice the price for our redemption, right? We need a redeemer, but it came at a massive price. Notice, in him we have redemption through his, tell me, blood, through his blood. So there it is again. What this reinforces, Jesus had to die. Why? Only his blood, only his life could pay for ours. His blood had to be shed. Each sermon in the series, I want to attach it to a song. And one of the songs I want you to see right here is "Oh, the Blood." Beautiful, modern hymn-type song. "Oh, the blood." Look at how these words pop now in light of our atonement series. "Oh, the blood, crimson love, price, price of life's demand. Shameful sin placed on him. The hope," great name for a church, "of every man." Now ready? "Oh, the blood of Jesus washes me. Oh, the blood of Jesus shed for me. Only the blood. What a sacrifice that saved my life. Yes, the blood, it is my victory. The blood is my victory. Only the blood of Jesus Christ can give me victory over sin. Not works of man, not by some other religion, not by self-esteem. No, no, no. Only the blood of Jesus is the only thing that can save my life and truly give me victory. Victory. Got to hear that today. That's why in him we have redemption through his blood. The wonder of redemption in Jesus Christ. And just so we have some time to kind of broaden our view of biblical redemption, I want to put four different verses up one at a time, and then I want to apply it as we go. This is the Bible. The New Testament speaks of redemption. 1 Peter 1 is the first one. "Knowing that you were," notice, ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers. What this is saying here, if we're alive in Christ, we have been ransomed from a life of futility, a life of meaninglessness, a life of no eternal purpose. Notice, you've been ransomed not with money, not with your investment portfolio, not with your stocks or gold or silver, but with the precious blood of Christ. That's the payment for us. That like a lamb without blemish or spot. So what's our application here? If this is true application then right here, application is you've been set free from utility. Live like it. Again, do we claim to be set free from death and now we have life? We gotta live like it. Why? Because we've been ransomed from futile ways. You can't say you're ransomed from futile ways and live in futility. Then something hasn't happened. We are called to live like the fact that we've been ransomed again from the futility of the world around us. Next verse, I think it's Acts chapter 20. "Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers." Now watch this, let me learn here. "To care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood." God purchased the church for himself with the blood of his son. Jesus bought the church with his blood. Application right here. Application, love the church that Jesus bought with his blood. All those alive in Christ right now, here. Love the church. Serve the church. Give to the church. Use your gifts in the church. Have compassion on the church. Love the body of Christ. Jesus gave his blood. He purchased it with his blood. Gotta love the church. I love this next one, Revelation chapter 5. This is throne room, heaven, glory, understanding again what eternity will look like. And they sang a new song saying, "Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you are slain." And listen, this is the song they sing. "And by your blood, you ransom people for God." Again, from every tribe and language and people and nation. So again, what's our application right here? Application is this, ready? Redemption is our song. Sing like it. Sing like it. Are you redeemed? All of heaven, all of glory, it will be singing, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain," where you ransomed people will be singing of our redemption. Let's get a head start. Let's get a head start. Let's sing our voices. It drives me crazy, man, walking into a church. "Oh, the blood is my victory." I'm like, what is happening right there? What is that? You obviously don't know what you just sang. You obviously, you're like, well, I worked the night shift. Okay, some grace there, right? But if every weekend you're coming in and there you are and you're just kind of, "Oh, the blood, can't wait to watch some TV." Like this, I'm just like, no, man, no. There's a huge theological disconnect from what we're saying we believe and what's actually happening in our hearts. And by the way, before you feel too rebuked by me right now, I want to say, man, I love the way this church sings. I mean, like, it's one of my favorite. I get to sit in the front row basically every week. And I, man, just like the volume of the voices of singing of your redemption. This service in particular, pretty sweet, man. Pretty awesome. The energy, the passion, the love, as it should be. Right, again, one of my biggest pet peeves are going to walk into a church and these wonderful songs of the gospel, and they're just arms folded, bored out of their minds, just wanting to get out and have lunch. I'm like, no, you, no. Like, are you alive or not? Have you been saved or not? Is Jesus real or not? Is this all mean something or not? I mean, evidently, if we come in and we're bored to death with the gospel, Jesus isn't dead. And if he's not dead and we're bored to death, well, you do the math. There's a problem. But again, back to our church. Love you. And I love the way you sing. Listen, it's a fruitfulness of the Spirit within us. And pray for that. You say, I don't really have a good voice. Do you think the Lord cares about that? He loves any song, new song, rising up to him on such wonderful theology. Last verse. By the way, our musical worship team, they're so excited I'm saying this right now because they love just as much as I do when you guys sing as well. Man, if you notice our worship team recently, there are many songs they're singing. They take the earpiece out, they listen to you sing, and they just step back and let the voices of the people carry the song. Awesome. Awesome. That means I love you in sign language. Amen, Mike. Amen. There you go, man. Yeah, awesome. Awesome. Yeah, I'm not rocking it out at a concert, all right? It's not what's happening. Okay, here's an awesome verse right here. 1 Corinthians 6, ready? Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You just ready? You are not your own. You are not your own, for you were bought with a price, the price of his blood. So glorify God in your body. Context for 1 Corinthians 6, explicitly sexual sin. Verse 18 says, flee from sexual immorality. So you're going to say, we're going to say that we're redeemed, yet we're giving our body over to evil, sensual, sexual sin and lust? Holy Spirit's like, you've been bought. You've been purchased with the infinite value of the blood of Jesus Christ. Now glorify your God with your body. With your body. And who's that for? A lot of us. Feel the seriousness. Feel the seriousness of saying you're redeemed. Feel the seriousness of being temples of the Holy Spirit. Feel it. It's good. It's very healthy. God, apply it to our lives and help us to see. Listen, the wonder of redemption. The wonder of redemption takes us to point number two. Oh, the freedom of forgiveness. The freedom of forgiveness. Look at verse 7 again. Okay, watch the result of redemption, okay? So the result of redemption, in him we have redemption, the forgiveness of our trespasses. So notice intensely our context here. So redemption through the blood of Jesus leads to forgiveness of our sins. Some of you are here right now and you are being lied to by Satan. You are saved in Christ and Satan says, man, you stink. You're not worthy. You suck. You're no good. You just give up. You're so hopeless. He's got you in the ditch of despair and he's just pounding you into oblivion. And right now we apply the gospel again. And right now we say, no, wait a second. No, time out. I'm alive in the Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ, I am redeemed. I have redemption. I have redemption through his blood. I've been washed every single sin, past, present, and future. My sins, I have forgiveness of trespasses. Therefore, here's what I know to be true. In the Lord Jesus Christ, man, there's no guilt in life and no fear in death.
If you'd like to hear this message again or the rest of the messages from this series, you can find these resources and more on our website at liveinthelight.ca. I'm Craig Turnbull, and on behalf of Robbie Simons, we invite you to join us again next time on Live in the Light.